This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're with Macca and Paul here on Saturday Magazine, Saturday, the 6th of April, 10:11, Macca.
Yes, and I'm on microphone 4.
Yeah.
There we go.
You're on.
So, can you hear me?
I can.
Yes? Good. Sally Von Kapp, Lord Mayor of Melbourne. I just want to say thank you. I know you've still got a few months to go, but thank you for your service and what you've done for the City of Melbourne. Also what you've done for Joy, the advocacy for the City of Melbourne and the huge numbers of hours that you put in every day, as do your council colleagues, but, you know, it seems there's never a day where there isn't something positive, I think, happening in the City of Melbourne by the City of Melbourne. I don't often say that about local government. So thank you.
Good morning, Sally, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you always for such a warm welcome. And it's been an interesting time since last week. A whole week has gone by with me in my new status of having signalled that I'm not going to contest the election, and it's been really great to receive lots of feedback, mostly about the incredible efforts of staff and councillors at the city and also so many stakeholders around town, including Joy, who have been part of this sort of A-team for Melbourne to really bring that positivity to for people to feel that we are investing in and delivering activities that will make a positive difference in our community. And after the biggest shock we've ever experienced being COVID, so there's been lots of those memories and discussions about what we've been through, and really a lot of pride about what we've been able to deliver together in our municipality, but also beyond. I've met with lots of other mayors this week as well, so they've been really good discussions. It's onwards and upwards from
here. I got to ask you how you feel, because it must be a weird feeling. You know, you've been doing this job like full on for so many years now. Does it feel like the weight's been lifted, or you feel like you're in like a no man's land?
Well, no, I said I would work right to the last, so I'm definitely doing that. And we've got some big things still to deliver at Town Hall with a big focus on our budget. We've been in deficit budgets since COVID, really investing in the city and just looking at where we need to get to this round. I know that sounds boring, but of course budgets drive so much of what we can do around the city, and still plenty of things we want to deliver. Even this weekend, something brand new, which is called Young Ones, which is a new festival for Indigenous youth all the way up to 30. I don't quite make it into that category, but I was interested in the age group, but at our new Namnagu Library at Queen Victoria Market, and just to see some of these new initiatives and the hope and optimism that comes with them is absolutely fantastic. And I'm proud to be part of all of that.
I think one of the, you know, this is one of the, you know, the initiatives that you know, I think really show that the City of Melbourne is connected. I've watched with interest, Sally, how the numbers of people coming into the city in the evening and the weekend has grown so much, whilst there's a decline in daytime, a lot of that, of course, driven by work from home. Every time I'm in Sydney, there doesn't seem to be much going on in the Sydney CBD at night. And this is not about, you know, is Melbourne better than Sydney? It's an easy question. We know the answer to that. But why do you think this is happening in Melbourne? You know, what is it about Melbourne that is bringing people in at night and the weekends? I mean, clearly theatres and shows are a big part of it. But what else is happening?
Well, we're so lucky in Melbourne to have had this mix, and it really started with a policy called Postcode 3000 back in the late 80s, early 90s when I think it was Nick Greiner described Victoria and Melbourne as a moribund city in a rust bucket state. And I remember being a young worker.
That's a bit harsh.
It was harsh. I remember it because I was a young worker in the city and really there wasn't much happening and we were having our own financial crisis here in Melbourne. You're too young to remember, Paul.
But I had the financial crisis in London at the same time.
Right, there you go. And I remember as a young worker thinking, wow, am I going to have to move from Melbourne to be able to really have a big career and a fun life. And the city at the time really responded with this Postcode 3000, which was about making the city more than just a place to work, but a place to live and a place to have fun. And together, of course, with state government, investing heavily in that multi-layered, really diverse metropolis that Melbourne is
almost now. A multifunction polis. Oh, hang on, that was a South Australian term, wasn't it?
I'm not going there.
Do you think though, Sally, you know, that one of the reasons this is happening is the public transport access and, you know, the food and beverage offering, the hospitality, the shows, and the accessibility of the city. But a listener here has asked, so what is next, Sally? But also, listener says, we're going to miss Sally's funky shoes. Oh. We might have to take a picture.
Sorry, for those playing at home, Macca then decided to dart under the table to see what Sally was wearing on her feet.
Well. But, you know, it is that. But what else is it about Melbourne that, you know, for you, you talked about those comments by Nick Greiner. I mean, when I go to Sydney, it doesn't have anything like the same feel as Melbourne does.
Yeah, look, we've really invested in ensuring, and you remember we had the Nighttime Economy Advisory Committee. Yes. We've now got a Daytime Economy Advisory Committee as well, and I think putting the effort with many stakeholders into ensuring that there is a diverse offering at all times of the day is important. Remembering that Melbourne really is a 24-hour city with so many people finishing work at different times. People in the health sector, people in the education sector, for example. And so over time, there's a richness to what's on offer, and that really has made Melbourne a, Richard Florida calls it, a talent magnet city. Ooh. We're in the top 10 talent magnet cities in the world, and that has a lot to do with that, what's on offer, that sense of creativity, the energy that you're talking about. And I think this is a real thing about Melbourne I've come to understand, even when I'm talking with mayors in other cities around the world, is that Melburnians, Victorians love to come together en masse.
Yes.
And a comedy festival's on at the moment. 750,000 people came to the comedy festival last year, and we're expecting more of the same this year. We've just been talking about ACCA's new exhibition that's underway. We've got the HMAS Canberra, the flagship for the Navy, coming, in town at the moment, docked in town. And I think a lot of those sailors were expecting to go to a game of football, and instead they're going to the triennial at the NGV and they're enjoying culture and arts. This is, I think, one of the joys of Melbourne. But really a differentiator is the enthusiasm and just the enjoyment that people get from sharing an experience en masse. That's very Melbourne.
And one of the things, I know it's been a big area that the council and you have concentrated on, which is cleaning, and there's been a lot of ramped up activity there, and particularly around unwelcome graffiti. The challenge with that is, isn't it, is getting it, is, you know, you clean it, and then, of course, you know, the cleaners have moved on, then 5 minutes later someone else makes a mess.
Yeah.
So it's actually keeping up with that. In terms of scheduling, that is there a bit of a strange question, I know, but is there a time in the each 24-hour period that gets messier? Like, you know, that people, you know, that...
Interesting.
You know, that is it, you know, when a lot of bars close or whatever, is there, you know, 4 a.m. or something like that, is that when people make a lot of mess?
Yes. Well, of course, whenever we have events, we have extra mess, and it is all about people. I'm in the city first thing in the morning and it's spotless. And we've really increased. We just started a new contract this week, actually, 1st of April. And that included, for example, deodorizing laneways in those hours sort of between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. so they're clean and bright and sparkly for people arriving the next day. And then, of course, people arrive and mess starts.
Yeah.
One of the things we're really saying to members of the public is please let us know when you see something because we have increased. We've now got 165 people out and about the streets. Every 24 hours cleaning messes, we've got shorter response times when we see messes. Very proactive on any tagging or graffiti
Use the QR code.
That was very tech. I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
That came out of my Singapore trip. There it was very good. We talked about it on the show.
That's right, Singapore, excellent. It is
something I learned from Paris, Sally, when I was there a few years ago as well. They had problems as well with people using alleyways as toilets, sadly. And they had a beautiful system called a pissoir. And this was a little drop-down toilet that they literally dropped off at 10 o'clock at night, and they picked up again about 4 a.m. and took it away. So people basically had a pop-up loo that was only there in the darkness hours that were lifted away.
I love the sounds of that.
Concealed, yeah, and a very good design, which I'll talk to you about afterwards.
Candidates in the next election.
So exactly. Maybe they want to lift up that or get the team to look at that as an option.
Well, those sorts of ideas are very welcome. We are, you know, constantly seeking to improve cleaning in the city, and we all have a responsibility to keep our city clean. Even putting your rubbish in a bin is a good start. Or letting us know if a bin is full so we can get there.
There is a rumour that someone in Singapore dropped a piece of rubbish in 2008, but they're not out of prison yet.
There are very harsh rules, which we're not intending to bring here.
But
to your point about late night places that close, kebabs, you know, when people are enjoying a shawarma or a pizza or something, we do see a lot of mess at those times. It must be harder to put rubbish in the bin.
Or perhaps they're just not concentrating as much as they would have done normally.
So it would be good. And when we see lots of takeaway food places like on Elizabeth Street South, people tend to just come out and throw their rubbish wherever, including in our big, beautiful plant planters. I should know. Anyway, we will seek to constantly improve. We are spending 3 times more on our cleaning budget than we did in the 4 years prior to this term. We will keep investing. Everybody at Town Hall understands it is a top priority, core responsibility.
A top priority from a listener here.
Yes.
What day and time are the Navy boys in town?
Jason, that's not an acceptable message. But I do think there is a real change. So I first came down to Melbourne 10 years ago and spent a week in the CBD. And it was, dare I say, so boring and so droll that I jumped on the plane back to London thinking, I'm not going to move to Melbourne. And someone convinced me and said, like, you're making the wrong decision. Give it a go. And the transformation has been quite significant. You know, now I would actively go into the CBD. And back then, it was so quiet. There was nothing going on in the evenings. There was no activities. There was no real buzz or vibe. So I think, you know.
Would you ride an e-scooter?
I wouldn't, Macca, but that's not the point I'm going to make. So I think there has been a change. And I do think it's for the positive. And I think, you know, Melbourne now is a vibrant city, which I don't remember it being when I first came here 10 years ago.
You've reminded me, actually, one of the biggest factors that's changed the city is residents.
Yes.
When I was back that young worker, there were 685 people registered as living in the CBD, the Hoddle Grid. There are now almost 50,000 people in that Hoddle Grid. And I've just come from the city.
Yeah.
And I always love it when I see people walking their dogs in the city.
Yes.
That tells me they're residents. And those residents really underpin the confidence that so many traders have to open their doors or stay open later, and making sure that they have the sorts of services and entertainment and dining options. Retail, we're just asking retailers if they can to stay open later to make the most of that big uplift in foot traffic that we're experiencing in the evenings. These are parts of the changing rhythms of the city. But residents absolutely underpin that vibe in the city. And we can't underestimate the value of residents to our city.
One of the areas, we'll go to a break in a sec, but one of the areas is that bottom end of Elizabeth Street, isn't it? And keeping that clean and keeping it safe. The council's been watching this pretty closely, and I know Victoria Police, you know, are very vigilant in that area. Do you think there's, you know, how do we fix that? How do we make that safer? I mean, it can't be any more cameras or any more police presence, can it? I mean, it's a challenge, isn't it?
It is a challenge, and it's a real hotspot in the city. And we know that when we do have the police call them operations, to move people on who might be troublemakers, engaged in antisocial behaviour, engaged in illegal behaviour, frankly, that they move to other parts of the city as well. So this is a constant effort. We would love more presence by police. That makes an enormous difference. Unfortunately, there are many businesses there that have had to hire their own security to be able to bring confidence and safety to their staff and their customers. And it can't be like that. It's a gateway to our city. It's
opposite,
a major...
opposite the station.
And it's a tram hub.
Yes.
It's a massive walking area for people coming out of the train station. And, of course, it's got some of the best parts of our city as well. I mean, De Grave Street, Flinders Lane. Mm. These are very popular tourist places as well.
Yep.
Exactly. So we just have to keep going. We have had the roundtable recently with residents and traders, with police presence as well, as organisations like CoHealth that are very active in trying to assist people in the area with some of their underlying issues. And we really have to keep going on joint efforts there. I know there's a lot of frustration, particularly amongst residents. It's a high residential zone around there.
It is,
and it should be a desirable and lovely place to live. And we want to keep going. One of our recent efforts just in Mill Place, for example, has been to add more greenery, just change the feel, the vibe. And that's made a difference. So we'll keep going with some of those types of initiatives, that cleaning and working with police, very important.
Now, stay with us. We're speaking with Lord Mayor Sally Capp. We're going to have a quick break, and when we come back, I actually want to investigate. There's some City of Melbourne Creative Writing Awards. I want to talk some more about the Young Ones Festival, and Green Line. So stay with us.
You're on Saturday Magazine with Paul and Macca, and we're talking to Melbourne's Lord Mayor, Sally Capp.
So, Sally, the City of Melbourne, the Creative Writing Awards, and there's actually a new category, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
What's the new category?
Well, it's for transgender and gender diverse writers, and we're excited amongst many wonderful categories to include a spotlight and a showcase on writers from this community, and we should continue to do that. I think writing is an art form. It's a craft to be admired, but it's also a storytelling, and it can be cathartic, and it can be celebration, and it can be about sadness. And literally, I cry at the awards every year because of the stories that come out.
You're softy.
I am a softy. And the courage, I think, is something that really strikes me, of people to be able to take very personal situations often as the motivation for their writing and then share that publicly. Wow. So this is an absolute feature of the City of Melbourne. I think it's wonderful that not just us but many other local governments have programs like this for emerging writers, for established writers as well, but really to encourage people to feel that they have a safe place to jump off, particularly for the first time, that precipice of sharing their writing with the public. And it's in a very, as I said, encouraging, safe place, where even, you know, whatever effort you can make in poetry, you know, fiction, non-fiction, et cetera, really to encourage the skills and talents that might not have yet been unleashed.
And, of course, writing, you know, people who write, that's a labour of love, and, you know, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. But if you don't buy their books, people, then they've almost wasted that effort. So please make sure you do buy their books wherever you buy them.
That's a book announcements from Macca.
That's a book announcement.
While we're sticking on books for a second, I mean, one of the things that surprised me recently, Sally, was the success of the brand new library.
Yes.
Was it three floors of...
Yes, it's called Namnagu.
And just being used by so many different groups.
Oh, it's... Please come and have a look. It's in our Queen Victoria Market precinct. It's a modern library. It's upstairs.
Yep.
It's fully accessible, though, of course, I must say that. And it is for everyone. And it is so brilliantly presented. It's a gallery as well. It has all sorts of spaces, from a brilliant outdoor terrace and play area for kids, and a children's library with everything you would expect, including wet areas so people can be messy up there, kids can be messy up there, through to adult libraries. But it's the makers spaces, and it's the tech areas, and it's places to put on shows, all of those elements.
It's like a library you would never conceive. If you were thinking of normalized images of libraries, of rows of books, it's nothing like that. And I think, to your point, Macca, it's a way of getting, you know, young people or people who are disengaged with reading back into reading through that.
And a big part of that is the environment in which you read. So somewhere that you go to relax or to engage, and then also, hang on, I'm going to have a look at some of these books, and, you know, I might borrow some of them. That really does broaden people's horizons a little bit. Just quickly, Sally, so the Young Ones Festival, let's go back to that. That's an important initiative, isn't it? Because it's, what's Young Ones, is that under 30?
It is under 30, and it's a program of activities. It kicked off last night. Many activities open to the public as well to come and enjoy, including the Jiri Jiri Dancers, one of my favourite groups, coming to perform tomorrow. It's in the library, but it's important as well. It is about talking about issues facing young Indigenous people. It's about providing that platform and identifying ways in which we can all be part of better futures. But importantly, I think it's the listening and acknowledging that those issues are there, and then it's working together to solve some of them. But really empowering our young Indigenous people to take charge a little bit.
But really giving them a voice and a platform.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, not just in their community, but in the wider community.
Exactly.
And if we don't see and we don't hear, then we don't learn. Mm.
And we purposely set up Namnagu as a very culturally safe place to be able to have these sorts of conversations and so many more. And part of that also was to commission new work, as well as provide a showcase. And Marie Clark has a very renowned artist and has put her heart and soul into this project, and also for us to be able to bring many things out of our collection forward to create that culturally safe place and therefore encourage and support these sorts of conversations. I think that's awesome. Mm. It's one of my favourite places in Melbourne, and still so many people to discover it. And, of course, public libraries play important roles for everybody. So please do come on down. We have more than 1 million people come through our public libraries every year.
That's a huge number.
It is. And I think libraries are cooler than Macca's. So come on down just to hang out. Not your Macca's.
I do.
The big Golden Arch Macca's.
I do have, for the next time that you're on air with us, I've got a question I'd like you to investigate.
Right.
My partner would love me to get rid of some books.
Yes.
I would love to donate some books to the City of Melbourne libraries.
Right.
Yet libraries, for some reason, don't accept donated books.
That's right.
Why?
Yes, it's a very complex question, but we don't accept donations of books. We have an amazing library team who curate our collections, and they're ensuring that the books are appropriate.
Are you saying my books wouldn't be appropriate?
No, I'm not. But also, when you get big collections of books, frankly, you don't even know how physically safe they are.
Yeah.
And it takes a really big effort to go and do all of that, which is time that the team could be spending on other things. Having said that, There are places like the Athenaeum Library yes. and Bookstore that take donations.
Ah.
And they're awesome. And we work very closely with them to be able to bring some of those collections. And then they work with other libraries and also with the public to be able okay. to bring those collections forward.
So the Athenaeum
for
is
your collected books.
So the Athenaeum is a men's only club. Is the library?
No, that it's not that club. Okay. No, it's okay. the theatre. Okay. Athenaeum Theatre has a library inside. Yes. If you haven't been there, please do go and have okay. a look. It's absolutely
no, I'm
fantastic.
Gonna contact them.
Another special place books. In Melbourne. And they also sell books and you can borrow books and they are happy to take not every donation, but I'm sure yours is a significant collection.
can we move away from books just for slightly, Max?
To Green Line.
Before we get to Green Line, I was going to say to Sally, you've got a few more weeks left to go. What's still on your to-do list that you still want to cross off before you take a little break?
Well, look, we're in the heading into the last year of our council plan. So it is action stations in so many ways. We're going to talk about Green Line in a moment. But for all of the councillors particularly and our team there at City of Melbourne, we are working really hard to finalise that council plan and all of the actions that were expected to be delivered and then set up for the next councillor group.
Yep.
I think it's an important part of our legacy that we leave
a proper handover.
Yeah.
A proper handover, exactly. We want to be very professional and show the good governance but also the commitment that we've made as a councillor group and really hand that baton over well. So a lot of internal efforts to make that happen well, but also things like Make Room, which is the facility for people experiencing homelessness, is due to open in the next few weeks.
Great.
Queen Victoria Market, we just signed off on the last really big component called Garawa Place, which we're doing with Lendlease. So that's now underway. And, of course, it looks like a construction zone. Thank you to everybody that keeps coming to Queen Victoria Market because it continues to be ace as all the new bits keep opening and people can see construction still underway. We've just about to deliver the first big community scale batteries as part of Power Melbourne that people will be able to see around Melbourne. And so, again, in the next few weeks, we'll start to see those rolled out. This is the stage that we're at in our council plan that really reflects the work that's been ongoing. And that economic stimulation and investment will continue as well with some of the new festival last year was Now or Never. That's coming again this year, so planning well underway, as well as supporting Comedy Festival, Rising, etc. The city as that magnet is important for all of our traders and who we are. It's who Melbourne is. It's our DNA.
So a few things on there then.
Yes, still quite a bit to get on with. I won't be bored in the next few weeks, that's for sure.
What is officially your last day as Lord Mayor?
Still to be determined, okay. but I'm particularly focused on helping get the budget and annual plan in place for our last year. So that's a big signal, but a lot of these things still underway.
And just while we talk about that, Mac, we've talked about this briefly last week, and you said as and when that transition plan happens, Sally, when you step down, you'll be handing over the reins to trusted Deputy Lord Mayor Nick Rees.
Yes, the legislation is very clear on this, and again, on the basis of good governance and professionalism, we've looked at all of the legislation and understood processes and costs and ensured that this can all work smoothly. So under the legislation, the Deputy Lord Mayor becomes the 105th Lord Mayor of Melbourne when I step down towards the end of June. I think that's going to be terrific and it will be managed very well. And Nick, together with all of our councillors there, have been integrally involved in everything that we've been doing. That's part of our responsibilities anyway. So, of course, I'm going to wish them all the best, but I feel really confident that Nick and the councillor group will continue to do great things till the end of the term.
And we look forward, when the elections happen, of having the Lord Mayoral candidates on air for a Q&A.
Always a key feature of the campaigns.
It's always interesting. Now, finally, one word or two words together, Green Line.
Yes, is it one word or two words together? At the moment, it's one word.
It's one word.
One word. Green Line massive project. So proud that it just won the National Urban Design Award for the master plan. This really has been the focus of the last couple of years. Mm. So congrats to our team and TCL and Aspect. Worked on it together, and it's fantastic to get that national recognition for the quality of the work and therefore the quality of the project. And as I've come to understand, without a really good master plan, you cannot set up the project for success. We will be turning a sod later next week on one of the first parks to be delivered on Green Line, which is down behind the Seafarers facility there in Docklands. Later, we will be turning the first sod on Stage 1A, which is at Birrarung Mar. So there are a few things where we'll actually see physical activity
It's amazing it's off the ground.
It's happening.
Yes. Well done. It's taken us a while to get there, but well done, really Sally. Yeah.
That was one of the first discussions
we did.
Yeah. We had.
It was.
Yeah. Once you'd been, in fact, you talked about it before, but once you're elected, so... I'm so glad, you know, that it's continuing to progress. I think it's going to add a lot to Melbourne, and dare I say it, it might be a bit,
a generational
bit of a
project.
Legacy. It's a generational project.
And the fact that it goes beyond me or goes beyond council terms is actually a really important part of this project, that it's so significant that it does take time. It will need support from different leadership groups, both within Town Hall and outside, and that's because it's a project that will be defining and transforming for our city for decades to come.
It's nice to have a long-term plan.
It is.
And you're right, it should be multi-term.
Yeah.
Final question, Michael.
Someone here said Sally should run for state politics. I know Sally has completely, totally and absolutely ruled out standing for public elected office. Of course, she could be elected to another office in another area, but not in the public sphere.
Yes, I have enjoyed my time as an elected representative. It has been completely eye-opening and magnificent as an experience, all the highs and lows, the extremes, and the happiest of times, but that is my tilt. I am done, and I will imagine I will return to the private sector or perhaps NGO sector. Really don't know, but part of this time is to start thinking about the future. I quite like the unknown, and I feel comfortable there. So that's what I'm doing. I'm throwing myself off that precipice we talked about earlier.
Great. Mm. Thank you, Sally.
Thank you for having me, as always.
And we will be talking to you again before you officially step down and hand over the necklace and all that.
Oh, the chains.
The chains.
I'll bring my own balloons.
Yeah.
Okay. As I did when I opened the public toilet on Faraday Street. Have a joyous Saturday.
Thank you for joining us again. We'll talk to you one more time. Sally, thank you very much.
Cheers. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Stay with us. When we come back, Peter Khalil.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.